Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, good morning. It is so good to see all of you here for our one service Sunday. My normal Sunday morning routine is to get up at about 5:20 and take a shower. I get to Starbucks right at 6 o'clock and spend the morning just kind of reviewing and going over the slides and some things like that. Thank you, thank you, thank you for Thanksgiving break. That we get to have a 10 o'clock service a few times a year. And then I'm so excited about next week, beginning in December 9th with Cochran & Company coming. Hope that you are planning on being here and inviting friends and neighbors, classmates, and so on and so forth. But we've just stepped out of our 1 Corinthians series. And then last week we had a special guest speaker with Brian Autry from the SBCV coming. And so I have this one Sunday to pick whatever I want to pick, just kind of a one-off. And truly, in times past, it seems like we have concluded several of our series around the 1st of November, and we usually have about a two-week series that we have called Thank Fuel. Thank Fuel. And that series always coincides, of course, with Thanksgiving. And so let me just ask a quick question, because I've recycled this message. I preached this message or a semblance of it back in 2015. So how many of you were here in 2015 at North Star? Like 7 of you. Great. I think I'm in good company. Okay. I'm good. Whew. I was really sweating that. As we kind of launch in today, I think what we're going to see is that gratitude really is one of the positions of the heart that will enable you to enjoy your relationship with Jesus and make you also a pleasant person to others. Gratitude is one of those heart postures that produces humility, contentment, joy, and we'll see some of that as we look. And if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to begin verse 5 in just a moment, but this has been a strange couple of months for us at the Noble House, only because we have two different garage doors. We have a single garage up front, and then we have a little driveway that goes around back, and we have another garage in back. And we were sitting in the living room several months ago, and we heard this horrible crash. And I was like, a limb hit the house. Someone's run into the house with their car. We didn't know what it was, and we walked out, and we couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. It was thought it was coming from the garage, and as we began looking, we noticed that spring had snapped. And so we had to call Hall's Garage Doors in Christiansburg, and they're amazing people. I don't mean to give them a plug, but they're fantastic. They came and they fixed our garage door in a day. And so we're like, oh, well, that happens once in a lifetime, right? No. So we're sitting there the other night, we hear another crash. And the garage on the back of the house doesn't have a motorized door, and so we finally isolate the noise to somewhere downstairs. We walk in and the whole beam, the track, had just detached from the ceiling and was just kind of hanging there. Now, the funny thing about it is some of you know Adeline and Braden are going to be moving back to Blacksburg next month, and they've been putting a bunch of their furniture in our garage, which means they can't get to it. So it's kind of like, okay, I guess I better get that garage door repaired. So everything in our house related to garages seems to be breaking, but even as we look around, from garages to really sometimes even we think politics to our world, we live in a world that breaks a lot. We live in a world of brokenness. We might even acknowledge that a lot of our relationships sometimes get broken, and it's so easy sometimes to focus on what's wrong. But when we focus on what's wrong, it's really difficult to focus on what's good and right and true. So one of my favorite Christmas movies is Christmas with the Cranks. Tim Allen. Tim Allen has this brilliant idea, and you know the story. He decides that they're going to skip Christmas. But the reality of it is, from our culture, even to ourselves, if we're not careful, we'll also skip another holiday, and that's Thanksgiving. Sometimes we get so enamored with Christmas that we overlook Thanksgiving and what it can do for the soul. And while our culture may think Thanksgiving is a throwaway holiday, Thanksgiving really is a heart activity. It's indispensable to be able to enjoy life. In fact, science tells us that the sheer act of giving Thanksgiving can alleviate stress, reduce fatigue, and even clear the mind. There was a December 2022 article from the Mayo Clinic, and it was titled, "Can Expressing Gratitude Improve Your Mental and Physical Health?" And the answer was a resounding yes. And there was a statement in the article that just said, "Behavior changes biology." And I just think it's interesting that science and mental health studies are constantly declaring that they've discovered something that Scripture has proclaimed for centuries. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, it says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." Gratitude as a heart posture can influence how you feel, how you think, and how you behave. And when you adopt gratitude as your basic perspective on life, when you just move through life grateful, thankful, it becomes a grace assault on our culture, on the ways of the world, and it diffuses some of your negative thoughts that you dwell on. So this message is not just for Thanksgiving or for the holidays. It really is a message for life. It's a vital reminder that if we don't live from gratitude, we cannot experience the deepest and the best things of life. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. It says, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So we see a few principles already from this, but one of the things that I think we would acknowledge is that prayer is indispensable to thanksgiving. Our prayers must be saturated with gratitude. Before we go to God asking God for things, we really should go to God with an open heart and open hands, thanking God for how He's already blessed, how He's already provided, recalling to our minds how He's been faithful to us over the years. And then I hope you also notice that peace comes through prayer. If you're craving peace in your life, peace in your mind, if you're wanting to slow down your thoughts that just seem to be on that gerbil wheel all the time, prayerfulness helps prepare your mind to receive the peace of God, which Scripture says surpasses all understanding. And then I hope you also notice that after prayerfulness, we're coached on our thought life. Things we should think about. What we literally focus our minds on is important and can change our attitudes, change our behavior, and even impact our relationships. I think it's profound that Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, that in the end times, these things would happen. Now listen to this list. It says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. In that long list of attitudinal sins and behavioral sins, I think is pretty profound that one of the things that Paul identifies happens or that multiplies as the end of times draws near is ingratitude, the failure to be grateful. It's a soul-sapping mental condition. If I can just throw out a phrase for you, I would say it's also spiritual constipation. And the reason I say that is because nothing good can flow from a life that's filled with ingratitude. When your life is filled with ingratitude, it blocks everything up. It blocks up your heart, your thinking, and even your relationships. G.K. Chesterton has this great quote. It says, "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder." Don't you just love that? Gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Now, as I looked at this quote, I started going, man, I want to represent that as a mathematic equation. Now, I'm not a mathematician, so I'm just going to tell you. So here's my first attempt. I said, wonder times happiness is equal to gratitude. And I thought, well, that's not really it. So our daughter Adeline is a math teacher out in Newport News. So I call her and I say, hey, help me figure this out. So she started scribbling different equations down. And so she was writing down gratitude is equal to happiness times wonder. And then she said, no, really, happiness is doubled by wonder. So she made wonder an exponent of happiness. And so then we're trying to go, well, that's not really quite right either. So then I was just scratching my head, like, I know there's a lot of smart people here. And some of you are like, oh, yeah, I already got this. So I call another smart guy I know, Jim Rancourt. And actually, Jim called me, and we just happened to be talking. And I said, so, Jim, here's my problem. He's brilliant. Can you help me solve this? And so we're walking through this. And really, he said, actually, when you try to represent it mathematically, it kind of falls apart. And then it just kind of dawned on me, that's kind of the point, isn't it? Is that there I went looking at this quote, and my mind went to, oh, I'm going to create a mathematic equation. And I honestly wasted way too much time trying to figure this out as a mathematic equation, but it's reflective of our life and my life as well. There's a problem, and I want to fix it. I want to solve it. I want to move immediately into figuring. But there comes a time where Scripture calls us to pray with thanksgiving, rejoicing in all things, turning loose of the control of our life, of trying to manage, trying to figure things out, trying to solve our problems, and just going before the Lord and reminding yourself to park in a position of gratitude. But really, when I looked at that quote, gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder, I really did begin going, you know, the inverse of that is true. Because if there's no wonder in your life, you may not ever get to gratitude. Part of being grateful, part of being astoundingly thankful, is looking at how God has blessed. And in sheer wonder, allowing your heart to say, thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your provision, and for your presence in my life. You might even say that the heart filled with ingratitude is a heart that's lost its imagination with no wonder. So Jesus told a whole parable about the soul-destroying reality of ingratitude. In Matthew chapter 18, I'm not going to read all of it for you, but Peter basically comes before the Lord. And beginning in verse 21, he says, how many times should I forgive someone? And as Jesus begins to answer Peter, he says, well, let me just tell you a parable about this. And so the parable really begins, and it says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one who owed him 10,000 talents, which means so much money a person really couldn't repay it in his lifetime, was brought before him. And since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, everything he had be sold to pay the debt. But at this, the servant fell face down before him and said, be patient with me and I will pay you everything. Which is ridiculous. The guy would have never been able to pay the king back. But the master of that servant had compassion, released him, forgave the loan. The rest of the story is that servant walks away from the master, and as soon as he gets out into the streets, he runs into a guy that owes him a paltry sum, $50, $100, whatever. And he rages against the guy who owes him money, demands that he pay him back. And when the guy he meets can't pay him back, he throws him in jail. Well, the master hears about it, calls the first guy back in, and it wasn't good results. But I think it's a great parable about ingratitude. It's a great parable about the lack of understanding of being forgiven, right? The first servant is forgiven this huge debt. So what was missing from the servant's heart? You can see it on the screen behind me. First of all, an awareness of the monstrosity of his debt. He was completely unaware of what it would take to repay his debt. It was ludicrous that he offered to work for it. But secondly, what was missing was gratitude for being forgiven. The master completely forgave what was owed. Then what was missing was joy. He should have walked out from there joyful, because he was free from the debt. And then finally, contentment was missing. You see, if anything, the act of being forgiven by this first servant, it upset him that he had been put in the position before the master to have to be forgiven. Why did it upset him so much? Well, first of all, it showed that he was not the master of his own life, right? He was upset. He was humiliated that he had to depend upon someone else to get him out of a problem, that he couldn't get himself out of the problem. He didn't have any control over his own life, and it became obvious. His lie was exposed, because this guy might have been living like a king himself. If he had borrowed that much money, think about what his lifestyle would have been like. And now the lie was exposed. His status and position were provided by the means of another. You see, he had begun to think he was this self-made man, but he suddenly chafed about being fully exposed as being needy. That's why he raged against his fellow servant. May I suggest that one of the greatest causes for us not being supremely and knee-bendingly grateful is simply ignoring forgiveness. You can see that quote on the screen behind me. Let me read it again. One of the greatest causes for not being supremely knee-bendingly grateful is simply ignoring forgiveness. You see, when each of us forgets that we have been like that first servant, forgiving a debt that we could never repay through the cross of Jesus Christ, when we forget that we have been forgiven, we tend to treat other people poorly. And we tend to treat even our master, the Lord, with disrespect, ignoring him, thinking that we are self-made people. If we lose sight of what we've been forgiven, we become zoned in on what we don't have. We get focused on our problems. We get focused on our status. We get focused on our identities, on our circumstances. But if we'll just stop and if we'll reflect on how much we've been forgiven, gratitude will raise our hearts like the incoming tide every time. If we'll just pause and reflect and get out of that cycle of negativity in our minds and our hearts. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "When you were dead in your trespasses, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him, and he forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and he's taken it away by nailing it to the cross." So let me just ask this, and I'll put it up on the screen too. What does that say about your sin debt? What does these verses in Colossians tell us? Well, it tells us that you've been forgiven. It tells us that your sin has literally been erased. It tells us that it's been taken away and that it's been nailed to the cross. Friends, when Christ forgives us, you are fully, finally, and forever forgiven because of faith in him. Thank you for the amen. There was one little amen up front, so I'm just going to acknowledge that. I really appreciate those. So where does that leave us? I think it's important. The very next verse in Colossians chapter 2, Colossians 2, 15, it says this: "Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him." So here's the phenomenal reality, and you can see this quote too, but we are not just forgiven, but we are triumphant. You see, our sin has been forgiven, it's been erased, it's been taken away, it's been nailed to the cross, but we are not just forgiven, we are now co-heirs in Christ. We reign with Christ. We are triumphant in Christ. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper at the end of the service in just a moment, it's an opportunity for you to dwell on the reality of your position in Christ because he has forgiven you. It's why we're so grateful to be saved. So why we're so constantly in awe that God looked upon us and because of his son Jesus, he forgave us all our sins. Now, can I suggest also an activity that will keep your mind grounded in gratitude this week? And you've already seen it in Philippians, but prayer. Prayer is the antidote to worry, and it's the genesis of thanksgiving. You will really never be grateful apart from a vibrant prayer life. You won't be grateful apart from a vibrant prayer life. We've already looked at Philippians 4, 5 through 6, but let me just remind you, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by what?" That was terrible. "By in everything," what is it? Thank you. "And?" Thank you. "Let your requests be made known to God." You see, prayer is the engine that allows gratitude to turn in our life. Proper, grateful prayer secures our peace. Because what did we see in Philippians? Is that when we pray with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So prayer wrestles your mind away from unfruitfulness and makes it kneel before your Father who loves you so much. And we already saw that the next verses in Philippians tell us, here's what you should think about. It says, "Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, whatever is of moral excellence and things that are praiseworthy, think about those things." So if you're thirsty for gratitude, gratitude can't happen apart from a thought life that is submitted to God. Because here's what happens in our thought life is realities can short-circuit our gratitude. Our thoughts can short-circuit our gratitude. For instance, let me tell you a few things that short-circuit your gratitude according to these scriptures, okay? Worry short-circuits your gratitude. Don't be anxious about anything. Anger short-circuits your gratitude. Ingratitude. You think, well, you can't do that, Jeff. Well, I just did. Ingratitude short-circuits gratitude. Impatience short-circuits gratitude. Worry short-circuits gratitude. Some of you are going, he said worry twice. Yeah, I did. Because isn't that one of the beasts of our thought life that inhibits us from experiencing gratitude? And then finally, greed short-circuits gratitude. So again, I'm thinking about how do I represent this? And if I could represent a Christian life founded on gratitude by just a three-legged stool. And you can see this three-legged stool up there. This is what the heart of a Christ follower sits on, okay? The heart of a Christ follower sits on these three legs: contentment, joy, and gratitude. Now, I don't know which one of those things comes first, but you need all three to have a stable place to sit. And when you have a heart that is founded in contentment and experiencing joy and demonstrating gratitude, guess what happens next? Guess what happens to your heart? Hope, I mean, peace and humility come and sit on the stool of your life. You're able to rest. You're able not to be moved by the chaos in your life and around you. Even when trials and hardships come, it enables you to rest. So here are some thoughts for us today. And as I share some of these thoughts, I'll go ahead and invite the worship team to come up. And in a moment, we're going to be transitioning into our Lord's Supper. But here's some thoughts just based on the scriptures we've looked at. First of all, I want to encourage you over this Thanksgiving week towards prayer. Pray for increased gratitude in your life. Pray for increased gratitude. Just say, oh, Father, make me thankful. Father, help me remember. Perhaps our forgetting is one of the enemies of our experiencing gratitude. One of the things that I started doing about a year ago, I journal just about every day. But I started taking my journals from about 6 months ago. And on Saturday mornings, I'll take my journal from 6 months ago and I'll just read a week of entries. So I'm always reading entries from 6 months ago. That exercise alone for me has increased my gratitude. I've forgotten all the things I prayed for that God has already answered. I've forgotten all the things I was struggling about that God already took care of. It's helped me through my own writing become one of my biggest encouragers towards remembering gratitude. Secondly, pray with gratitude. Pray with gratitude. Thirdly, announce to God what you're grateful for. Be specific in your prayers, thanking God for how He has blessed, how He's provided, how sometimes you may even go, God, thank you so much that normally I would be broken up about this. Normally I would be, my mind would be swirling, but somehow, God, this peace that goes beyond understanding is settled in my heart and in my life. And I want to thank you for your presence. Then I would encourage you to thank others through thank you notes. And even just from sitting down with a person and face to face, just saying thank you and bring the meat of the thanksgiving. Don't just say, hey, thanks so much for being an awesome person. Say thank you for, and then tell them a couple of things that you're genuinely thankful for from them. Perhaps to keep a gratitude journal. I know that's been suggested by multiple speakers and others in some of our small group leaders, but a gratitude journal is an incredible way just to track over the course of a year how God has blessed and provided. One of my favorite things is when I study at Barnes & Noble on Fridays and Saturdays and Well, more often than that, actually, but I'll go back for a refill. And they know me there. I'm kind of a big deal. I mean, it is Barnes and Noble, right? Ha ha ha. But I know not to expect a free refill at Barnes and Noble. If you have a membership, it's 76 cents for a refill for a medium cup of coffee. I love it when they say, "Don't worry about it." And they always whisper it like they're going to get in trouble or something. But I walk away and I think about the scripture that says, every good and perfect gift is from the Father. And I don't think they meant that coffee is a good and perfect gift, but perhaps so. But I'm reminded, even the smallest acts of generosity are from God. Keep a gratitude journal. And then perhaps this week, with your family, read Psalm 23 and be thankful for our good shepherd who takes care of us, who nurtures us, nourishes us, who walks beside us, and who declares that one day we will sit in triumph over all of his enemies. A.W. Tozer said this, "Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer, but richer for having made it." Let's pray.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.